Gorgeous listeners, it is so great to have you back for this next episode of Throwing Shade. This is Miriam here with Alan. Alan, how are you?
Baruch Hashem.
Amazing. Amazing. So excited. And I wanted to start us off by mentioning this hashtag I saw on Twitter this week, which I realize is a dangerous way to start any conversation. But there was a hashtag that was trending on Twitter that was hashtag accidentally unleashed a demon. And people were tweeting all kinds of crazy, wacky gifs and all kinds of fun stuff. And but it surprised and delighted me. And I said, hey, we have a podcast about demons. Maybe we should talk about unleashing them. What do you say, Alan? Should we dive in?
Let's do it.
Okay. So the hashtag was actually about stuff like, oh, accidentally unleashed a demon when like this thing happened with my child and I went a little nuts. But that's not that's obviously not what we're referring to here. So
yeah, we're gonna get a little geeky about it.
Let's geek away.
Yeah, we're talking about accidentally. First of all, it has to happen by accident. Unleashed means first of all it has to have first been leashed.
Uh-huh.
And
are you parsing a hashtag?
I am.
Okay.
Because I am that big of a geek.
You are that guy.
Yeah. Also, I don't really understand Twitter. I've never been on. I'm not on Twitter.
You did not need to say that because we already know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, but tell me about leashing and unleashing demons,
right?
In Jewish demonology.
So I'll say this. Generally speaking, in the text, when we find Shadim, they are freely acting, freely moving creatures of Hashem,
doing their thing.
And however, we do find a number of instances where they are under somebody's control, some human's control.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take any number of forms. We can talk about them in other subsequent episodes.
Yeah.
I'll just mention, like, one of my favorites is a really funny, I think, example. in Mesechtas Chulin, we have Rav Papa. Rav Papa, who's one of the regularly occurring tzaddikim in the Gemara.
Mm-hmm. It's a great name.
Rav Papa?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you finish a Masechta of Gemara, you say it a lot. But anyway.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. You just like saying Papa.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It feels good in your mouth. Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah. So he has, it's just like off, you know, there's a story about a certain Mazik who does something he shouldn't do, and there's a whole story about it.
A Mazik, which is
one of the castes of demons.
Right, so there's a whole hierarchy of demons that we started talking about in our last episode with the demon royal family, but
yeah.
They're not the royal family. They're a lower level of demons.
Yes.
Okay, great. So a Mazik, yeah.
Yeah, and this Mazik does some stuff maybe it shouldn't do. Anyway, Rav Papa, it just mentions, oh, Rav Papa, by the way, he had this shade who served him in his house, and he went to go to the
right,
river. And,
like you do.
And collect water for him and bring it back to his home. And they have a discussion about what just happened.
What a helpful little shade.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So
do we know how the shade feels about that?
From the context, I would guess that it's mostly okay with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would
silence
encourage our
is
listeners.
Consent. Sorry, that was awkward.
And I was silent.
Yeah. Wow, so meta.
Yeah.
So he just has this demon who like hangs out and helps him out.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what we know. And I would encourage our listeners to go learn Mesechtas Chulin.
Yeah.
But what I really want to talk about is the unleashing part of it, since that was the hashtag. And
right.
There's one story that really stands out, and it stands out for a number of reasons. Number one is it's a very long story about not just any shade, but in particular Ashmedai, who is the king of the Shadim.
Yes, who we met in our last episode.
Yes. And he is leashed and unleashed by none other than Shlomo HaMelech.
King Solomon.
Right. And in his trusty friend, servant.
With him as always is Garth.
Right, exactly. Benayahu. And I won't go into the story for time reasons too much. I think we should definitely address this whole story, maybe in multi-part episodes.
Yeah, but give us the meat of the leashing and the unleashing.
Cause. Right. So I'll say this. After a whole, you know, sitcom of things that happens, Ashmedai is ultimately bound by a chain with a certain name of God engraved on it,
mm-hmm.
brought to Yerushalayim, brought to Jerusalem, where Shlomo HaMelech is, and kept there for the duration of the building of the temple.
Mm.
And afterwards, Shlomo HaMelech, he's got his question. He's got something bothering him. It happens to have to do with Shadim. So even the wisest person in all of history has questions, or maybe
he especially. Would have loved our podcast.
Maybe. Let me finish the story. I think if you have access King to Solomon, the King of the Shadim,
if you're listening,
or you have access to our podcast,
rate us on iTunes.
And you have a question.
Yeah.
We're having two different conversations. Anyway, he's like, so the temple is completed. And he has this question. So he goes, he's like, oh, I got the King of the Shading here. Let me just go ask him.
Right.
So he asks the question. There's a pasuk in Bamidbar, in Sefer Bamidbar.
There's a line in the book of Numbers.
Correct. Thank you. And it goes like this. It says, Kesayefes Re'em Lai, which means like the horns of a special creature called a Re'em. And mm-hmm. a Re'em is a, some people think it's like a unicorn. Some people think it was like an ox or some kind of thing. Something with horns, some beast with horns that, you know, some either a mythical kind of creature or like a huge kind of thing. I'm not really sure.
Uh-huh.
But we see the word Re'em appear in a number of different places throughout the Tanakh and the Hebrew Bible. And he says that, so Shlomo HaMelech knows that the sages say, the Chachamim, they tell him that the horns refer to the Malachim, especially the Malachi Ashares, the highest.
The angels, the ministering angels.
Correct.
Probably how it's translated, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe archangels.
Sure.
Where the Re'em, when it's used in this verse, is referring to the Shadim.
Okay.
And so... right, everyone's eyes are crossed, and he, especially King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, he doesn't know what any of this means.
Mm-hmm.
But he does know one thing. He knows that this verse is talking about creatures that are higher and loftier and holier than humans.
Mm.
So he goes to Ashmedai and says, why are Shadim loftier than humans? Why are they any better than humans?
Mm.
Okay, it's like, I get it about the Malachim, I get it about the angels, but why about the Shadim?
So the king of the humans, the king right. of at least one subset of humans.
No, he's king of the entire world. He's one of a handful of kings mentioned. He's king of the entire world.
Okay, so King Solomon,
yeah,
who's the king of the humans, is asking the king of the demons, why do you think you're better than me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Speaking of throwing shade.
Well, right. It gets better.
Yeah.
So Ashmedai responds by saying, hey, you're the king of the humans, mm-hmm. right? But you were first the king of the Jews, and as such, you have a ring that you wear.
Mm-hmm.
And on the ring is engraved a name of God.
Mm-hmm.
Toss me that ring. And Shlomo HaMelech...
Does he do it?
He does it. He tosses him the
Why?
Ring. What?
Why? No,
he's
finish
the
wise.
Part. He's the wisest human, and I'm not.
So okay, that's all right. My fair answer. Enough.
Also
a cop out, but fair. Yeah.
Right. He tosses him the ring.
Okay.
And Ashmedai proceeds to swallow it. And
yeah,
by doing that, you're like, okay. he swallows it. He
I'm
breaks,
along for the ride, man.
He breaks through he asks also Shlomo to take off the chain with God's name engraved on it, which he does. And as a result, of swallowing the ring, he grows in size, Ashmedai does, to the point where when he stretches out his wings, one touches the earth and one touches heaven. And he reaches down, grabs Shlomo HaMelech, and tosses him a huge distance. It says here, 400 parasangs. I'm not sure exactly what a parasang is, but the number 400 is actually significant. It represents the Sitra Achra, which is the, I don't want to get into it too much. We should talk about it at some point. But
the dark side.
The dark side, yeah.
They have cookies.
Right.
Okay. So King Solomon has just been thrown an enormous distance by the King of the Demons. And with that, we are going to sit with the tension and take a break. Okay, so when we last left, our hero had been flung halfway across the universe by the King of the Demons. Alan, what is going to happen? How is King Solomon going to get out of this scrape?
Right. I feel like we should cue some kind of funky music, like, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so Shlaim HaMelech is very, very far distant from Yerushalayim, where he needs to be in order to remain king. Mm-hmm. And his trek back involves him, first of all, it takes a tremendous amount of time because mm-hmm. it's so far away. And on the way, he stops door to door collecting tzedakah, collecting charity for himself, apparently, in order to make his way back. And at every door he stops, he says, I was Kohelet, king of Israel. Right. Mm. And
Kohelet, as a side note, is the name of the English book. In English, it's the name of the book Ecclesiastes, which is considered to be one of the sort of collections of wisdom written by King Solomon and is really great grumpy old man reading.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. So in English, imagine I, Ecclesiastes, was king of
coming
Israel,
to the door asking you for change to get back to Jerusalem.
Right. And he would do that at every single door. And it went over and over and over again.
Wow.
And after finally arriving in Yerushalayim, nobody recognized him.
Yeah.
He went up to the Sanhedrin. And there in front of the Sanhedrin, who he was, as king, extremely familiar with, they were a very important part of his reign, mm-hmm. the Sanhedrin being the high, high court, sitting mm-hmm. in the temple and in Yerushalayim. And they didn't recognize him, but they knew that he stopped at every time at every door and said, I, Kohelet, was king in Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. And he did that there too in front of Sanhedrin. And they said, somebody who's an imbecile, right? Somebody who's, they don't fixate on one thing and do this over and over again. We think there's something up with this guy. So they decide to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to Benayahu, who's Shlaim HaMelech's right-hand friend,
yeah.
mm-hmm. right? Right-hand dude, wingman. Anyway, so he, sorry. So he, and they say to him, has the king come to you lately, basically?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no. And they go, so they're like, okay, so you won't be any help for us. And then you go to the queens. As you may be familiar, the story talks about Shlaim HaMelech had many queens, many wives.
Yeah.
They go to the queens and they say, has he come to you lately? And they say, yeah. And they and so the Sanhedrin say to the queens, okay.
Are you sure?
What? And they say to him, you know, basically check his feet. Try and see if he's who he says he is.
Mm.
And Miriam, why do they ask them to check his feet?
Well, because demons in corporeal form often have chicken feet.
Right.
Shadim, which is delightful.
Shadim all have chicken feet, I believe.
Mm.
In corporeal form or even not in corporeal form, if you... There's another part for another time where you can see chicken feet marks, tracks, without actually seeing the feet themselves.
Yeah. Never trusted chickens.
Okay.
it's just well-founded suspicion. That's all.
Right.
Okay. So check his feet.
Check his feet. And so when they come back to the Sanhedrin, they say, you know, he wears socks and he never takes them off. and by the way, also, he's only asking us to have sex with him when we're menstruating. And also, he's asking his mother to have sex with him. And so the Sanhedrin is like,
huh, yeah. Something's up with...
something's up with the king.
With the king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So warning signs, relationship warning signs.
Right. So they're like, okay, so bring that guy who said he's the king back.
Yeah.
And they made him a new ring with Hashem's name on it.
Uh-huh.
And they gave it to him. They're like, you must be the king. And this other thing who's saying he's the king
right.
is probably not.
And
it's probably Ashmedai.
doing right. all these kinky things.
Right.
That's not him.
Right. So Shlomo HaMelech goes to the other Shlomo HaMelech with the new ring.
Wow. This right? is a legit telenovela.
Right. And when Ashmedai, as Shlomo HaMelech, sees mm-hmm. the real Shlomo HaMelech with the ring, he becomes afraid and he flees.
Mm.
And so there's the end of the story there. I just want to mention the end of the story. It's in, by the way, Masechta Gittin, if anybody's curious. It's all in its entirety right there, which I think is awesome.
Mm.
This is just the end of the story. But I wanted to focus specifically on leashing and then what happens when a shade is unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
Unclear whether Shlomo HaMelech did it accidentally or not.
Right.
Probably not so accidentally, but didn't realize what would happen when maybe when it was unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
What's fascinating to me, actually, is the very end, there's a machloikas Rav and Shmuel. There's a disagreement between two of the sages who are discussing this story.
Mm-hmm.
One says that after he became a commoner, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was it. He never ascended to the throne again. And one says,
really?
Yeah. And one says that not only did he ascend the throne, but he was able to find Ashmedai again and defeat uh-huh. him this time.
Huh.
So it depends if you like a happy ending or not, right? Who you go by, but
wow.
But either way. Unleashing the king of the demons, not recommended. So,
see, we always try and close these with a helpful tip,
right.
something that you can integrate into your everyday life. That's fascinating. And the whole piece about Shlomo, about King Solomon doing this door-to-door work and really like humbling himself in order to reascend the throne, I think is a really powerful image as well. That somehow, if you go with the latter opinion, that he then does conquer Ashmedai, that that's sort of his hero's journey of, you know, becoming what he was meant to be and being able to conquer that ultimate foe.
Right.
Fascinating. Thanks, Alan. That was super cool.
All right.
We got this great listener question, speaking of chicken feet, which we always do. We got this great listener question from Katie on Twitter, who asked us, she was just reminded that in at least one tradition, Lilith, the demon Lilith, was Adam's first wife, so the first human's first wife. But how could he have been married to a non-corporeal demon? Is that addressed anywhere? Also, which Lilith is that? Because in our last episode, we talked about how there are not one, but two Liliths. So this is a great question. First of all, thank you, Katie, for sending in your question. That's fabulous. And just as by way of backstory, this idea of Lilith being Adam's first wife is due to a sort of a quirk of the grammar in those first stories in Genesis, where it's describing the creation of humanity. And the rabbis use that quirk in between singular and plural in the Hebrew to say what's actually going on here. Maybe Adam had a wife before Eve. And that's where Lilith originally comes from. And there's this whole series of Midrashim of stories, right. About Lilith. So Alan, talk about, What's the deal with being corporeal?
Right. I want to address all of this in maybe a multi-part episode thing eventually, because Lilith is great.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, she's not. But it's a good topic.
Ooh, we're
of conversation.
Fight. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway. Anyway. There are Shadim. What's interesting about it is that there are Shadim who can take human form. We just learned that from the story with Ashmedai.
Right.
And that happens in a number of instances. Halachically, that poses lots of problems, which comes up in the Gemara,
mm-hmm.
Actually a few times. But there is a special thing about Lilith, which
yeah.
is because of this grammar thing you mentioned, she, to my knowledge, does not really take human form anymore. But she was originally not just taking human form, but originally human. She was created
right.
together with Adam, literally
as his
together.
Equal.
As
yes.
his equal, they were two faces facing opposite directions on the same body.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually for reasons which I'm sure he'll get into in a later episode, brought by Rashi and everyone.
Yeah.
They separate, and that's when Lilith becomes a shade. Mm-hmm. And so she's unique, really, in that respect.
Yeah.
And then just to clarify the last point, this is the big one. We're talking about Lilith Ol Masa. Lilith Zersa is a different Lilith. But this is the big one, because after being together with Adam, she goes on to marry another husband whose name I won't say, another shade.
Because he's one of the big guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the mafia would come after us if we said it.
Right.
Cool. Okay. So great. Thank you, Katie, for your question. And for all of our listeners, please find us on Twitter at Throwing Shade. Shoot us what ideas you have, and we'll address them in an upcoming episode. Shade throwers, we've come to the end of our time, and we're going to close, as we typically do, with our action item, something that you can take with you into the week. So, Alan, what have you got for our listeners?
Well, I was reflecting on our episode, and I think that, you know, we've learned that, whether accidentally or not, unleashing a shade is not a good thing. And so, you know, we want to avoid that. We want to avoid unleashing shading, unleashing demons in the colloquial sense as well. And what we find, for example, in the story of Hashmedai and Shlomo HaMelech, we find that Shlomo HaMelech, he has this question. He goes, he asks Hashmedai, and he just basically does what Hashmedai tells him to do.
Mm.
So, you know, that is one piece. And then, you know, we have the whole thing about, Lilith, who was bound to the human form and eventually becomes a shade and is unleashed in a way, in that way.
Ooh, I like that connection. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that before.
You know, and, you know, so I think my action item would be for our listeners to question your sources. Question where you're getting your information from, and think about it. And including us, by the way, send us your questions.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't hashtag accidentally unleash a shade. Ooh, that should be a trending hashtag.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. Oh my God. You don't get
that. I'm lost.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Question your sources, because that could be a demon.
It could be.
To you.
It could be a shade.
It could.
They could take human form, except you want to check their feet. That's
check
the thing.
That's a second action
they
item.
They can't.
The checking of the feet is kind of the checking of the sources.
Right. A shade can take a human form, but it cannot change its feet. It always has chicken feet.
That's right.
And, I just think it's really important. Rambam talks about it in Maimonides. He basically says, if you sit down on a tack, it's your own damn fault. You should have checked the seat first. You know?
Okay.
Basically, like, you need to do your due diligence. That's the action item.
Due diligence. So check your sources. Don't trust anyone who won't take their socks off. And look at the seat before you sit down.
It's all basically the same thing.
We will see you all next time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will catch you next time on another episode of Throwing Shade, Better Living Through Jewish Demonology. See y'all later.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.